How's everybody doing this morning? But if we could, while we're eating, we're going to play this song. This song really ministers to me. As my son would say, it might not be completely scriptural and have a sound theological basis. And, you know, I don't know about all the instruments that they play in it and the chord selection. You know, he can pick it apart for us later. Right? Love you, Shane. Love you. Yeah. I was trying to find one, right, instead of this imagery that had a cartoon in it that played the same song, but I couldn't do it, Shane. Yeah. See, the thing is my wife always says and laughs and takes joy in the fact that all my sons seem to harass me at this time in my life. And she's like, they're just giving back what they've, you know, you've sown into their life. So I have to continue so that they're always giving back to me. You know, it comes back in 100-fold, though. They seem to gang up on me. And I think my other son was digging a hole in my front yard to bury me, so I had to keep quiet. All right, this song here, I believe we played it recently down in the worship. So it must be approved, I guess. If it's good enough for down there, it should be good enough for up here for us, right? Right? All right, so let's go ahead and play this song. Enter in.
Reaches past the stars.
There we go.
There's a longing that reaches past the stars. There's an answer to every question mark. There's a name. There's a hope flowing through these veins. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. Wipes away all tears. There's a presence that changes atmospheres. There's a name.
Well, once again, like I said, good morning to everybody. What I'd like to speak about this morning, right, and I'm going to be teaching downstairs. It's going to kind of go hand in hand. But this morning, I want to talk about a contrasting kingdom mindset with a church mindset. I actually had this article years ago. It came back to my mind. It was written by somebody that we had known for a while, Joe Matera. And it's real interesting in times like this to go back to what is a kingdom mindset, what is a church mindset, and how the world wants to infiltrate into the church. This is actually 8 years ago that this article was written. So I'm a little slow, and I've always told everybody that. I haven't hidden that, you know, trying to get caught up and whatnot. But it says, Jesus, John the Baptist, and the apostles went about proclaiming the kingdom, not the church. You can read in Matthew 3, verses 2, 4, verses 17, and 10, verses 7, Acts 28, 30 through 31. It says, although the church is in the kingdom, it is not the entire kingdom. Right? Kingdom denotes the rule of God over the whole cosmos, not just a single entity on earth. Like the church, in spite of this, most preaching today has its goal to get people to make a weekly or two-hour commitment. You guys are commended. You're making that commitment. Well, thank you, Brian. It says, but that's the church mentality in a sense. Hey, I did my time. Now the rest of the week is up to me. This is what I got to do, right? It says, this is because the spirit of religion has captivated the church and blinded the minds of church leaders so that now have every limiting church mindset instead of a kingdom perspective. The negative results of this cannot be overstated. In essence, a kingdom mindset regards Christianity as a biblical world and life view centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Luckily here, we've discussed that in depth and we continue to discuss that. It's something that you continue to focus on and present. Those with a church mindset view Jesus merely as king of the church, not king of all earthly secular kings. Is he not the king of kings?
Yes.
Always. You know, we look at the state of the world today, and what do you think? Is it in good shape? Is the world today in good shape?
Yes.
No. That was Jesse's answer. Jesse's answer. I asked quite a few people. And Jesse's answer is, well, I think they're confused.
He's ruling everything. Is it in good shape?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
Jesse says he thinks the church is confused though when it comes to that.
Yes, it is.
I listened to a lot of stuff and begin over the month in preparing for this. And one of the things, there's a visual that's being presented out there from the world's view. You know, if you don't believe me, look at the view that they portray of our president. You know, his dirt has dirt, and his dirt that has dirt has dirt. You know, that's the view that they're going to present when it comes to this individual. You need to pray for him. Nobody wants to be under that kind of a microscope and still try to accomplish what's been put before them. But that's the view the world wants to present. There's a view that the world wants to present for each and every one of us. And it wants us to go with that. The view that wants to be presented to Esther's granddaughter in school. That's a view that the world's wanting to present to her. That there is more against me than there is with me. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. But it's what they see in front of them, but it's not the truth. And we have to always go back to the truth. Not what we just see. It's going to be based in faith and trust in the living Word of God, the one that created the heavens and the earth. We have to have a kingdom mindset. If you look at the church, and I asked some people, let me pull up my notes. This is interesting. Notes. Actually, you know what? I put it in my reminders so I wouldn't forget, and I forgot to look at my reminders. One of the things I asked was, what's the state of the church? Like you have the State of the Union address. What's the state of the church locally in the United States and worldwide? One of the answers I got was contentment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The church has seemed to find contentment with where it's at and what it's doing. Another one I got was ritualistic. Mm-hmm. We're going about our tradition, but it's dead. You come, you put your time in, you do your 5-6 songs, you do a little bit of praise worship, you do a little bit of the message, and then that's it. There's no depth to it. It's just a ritual to us. It's not living, active being in us. But there was a glimmer of hope. There was one that said they can see small changes. Small changes they see. And that may be true, that's what they see. But that may be on a local level. It may be small changes in the United States. We had what some consider a great victory with the abortion laws.
Yep.
It's not there yet, what we'd like to see, but it is a victory. Does that get covered for the next 6 months? It may, because they're going to want to overturn that victory.
Yep.
But it isn't going to get covered as if it's a victory. It's being covered as if it's been a defeat. That it's a defeat, and that's a lie. They're going to steer their truth. And that's what you're going to be bombarded with. And if you're bombarded with that, and that's what you're going to base your opinion, your perspective on, instead of reading and studying the Word and getting into it and saying, well, what does God say about that? I don't care what I see out there. I don't care what you're presenting to me. What does the Word of God say about that? And then there was the one that said that. As a whole, I don't know, but His Word says it will fill the whole earth.
That's right.
So we may not understand completely, but we know what God's Word says. And if you know anything about God, what He starts, He finishes.
Right.
Now, what we may find is in that time frame of the kingdom, like always, the church has been up, down, up, down, up, down. The Israelites have been up, down, up, down, up, down. Yet, here we are. His kingdom lasts forever. All the rest are going to perish. Can anybody tell me who was the 25th president? Wow, that was forgotten.
The guy after the 24th.
Yeah, and before the 26th, right? We can try to make a name for ourselves, but guess what? It perishes. And you say, well, the 25th president, who was really close to him? Can anybody tell me who their great-great-great-grandfather's name was? That's family. People want to know who his name was. They go on Family Tree, pay a bunch of money. Hey, I'll make up a name and get the money. Not like you can verify it, really. They might find some simulation there. But the point is, it perishes. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. His kingdom lasts forever. Right? Another one was room for improvement. There's room for improvement in the church. Well, is there? I interpret that as there's room for obedience. Right, Donna? She has the joy of the Lord in her. Look at her. She knows that she is forgiven, that all is forgiven, that she does not have to continue to listen to us because there's five more stones being thrown back. Mercy and grace, mercy and grace. Right? Here's one that we all enjoy. This is it. All are welcome. You drive past a church, they tell me, and outside that particular church, there's the, I guess, the gay flag. All are welcome. God loves us all. And that's true. But He loves us enough not to leave us in our sin. That's what they don't want to preach. They don't mind you coming, but like all of us as kids, how many here love to be corrected and love to be disciplined? Daniel raised his hand. Let's take note of that. If anybody sees something wrong in Daniel's life, feel free to correct him. Daniel, you are a brave young man. Yep. So please do me a favor. Everybody start hawk-eyeing Daniel in his walk. We will be your Holy Spirit for you, Daniel. Yep. But you do want to be corrected. You do want to be rebuked. You do want to be loved. You know, you want to be loved. And that's part of it. We can't forget that. If God gives a harsh word, He's doing it out of love. He loves us. Another one is worship. You guys know me. I don't do anything without a song. Or a half a song. Well, that's a new trend now. You know, the old, you got to go out with the old, in with the new. You get the gist of it. We got to move on. You know, this is a seeker friendly. We got so much time. We got to be out of here by 9 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, we got to be down there. Quarter to 10 praying. We got a schedule that we got to keep. Let's not hinder the Spirit here. The Spirit is on a timetable. And God forbid we step out of line. You know? Matter of fact, we want to be so much ahead of it. We'd like to be 10 minutes ahead of the Spirit. God, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking here. Let me just run ahead of you and take care of this situation. You know, we are one. You know, instead of allowing Him to lead us and guide us and be patient, Esther, be patient, Fred. Be patient. Now, Esther and Fred are getting ready to sell their house. They are soon to be homeless. Y'all laugh, but they got plan B, staying at a relative. Because in this particular area, one of the fallacies, one of the visions is that an unreached people group are taking over. And that means they're unreachable. Yet we had one of them unreachable people group in here preaching that they were reachable.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Even under the threat of death. So I don't know how it is that an unreached people group's moving in and uniting in one particular place, so you don't have to go door to door. You can go to a neighborhood and you can reach that people group. They're not scattered, they're being gathered in. Gathered in to hear the word of the living God. To change a community. Yes, Esther.
I need to say something. God is so faithful. And I believe it so strongly.
I know that God is so faithful. That whoever comes to buy our house, they will be saved because of the power of God and the prayer and all that we have read and read out loud day after day. The word of God will stand firm in that house and that person will be saved. I know that.
Well, I actually
and
thought it was.
And she said that because we drove past our I drove past our house the other day. And I said the same thing. I said, listen, your Holy Spirit has lived in this house for 22 years, and whoever's in that, that's going to be touched by that person in that home.
Well,
I believe that in Jesus'
name. Me and Fred have a different vision of that. It's not that they won't be saved, but it was because me and Fred have been anointed so much by the oil and the sweat that we poured into them houses, the oil has dripped off and has been left there. Right, Fred? And it doesn't end. There'll be more oil in the new house being dripping off of us, the sweat, the tears. But that's true. They are not an unreached people group. Deb, you can't play the secretary here. Hurry up, up front. You can do it.
Okay, so yesterday my husband and I had the honor and the privilege of going to a mosque. And I want to share with you guys what happened there really, really fast.
Go ahead.
Our neighbor Omar down the street invited us, and we meet him at the bus stop. Our son Trey and his son go to school together. And so he invited us as Humanity Day to come and learn about the Islam faith. And it was an open thing to the public. And a guy was up there sharing how he converted to Islam and... then they fed us. So we got to go see them pray. And a lot of misperceptions and stuff that we had about the Islam faith were kind of cleared up. But in the end, our neighbor left, and this girl sat down right next to me, and her brother was talking across the table with us, her younger brother, and she said, she got in my face, "Do you have any questions?" And I was like, "Yeah, we were just talking about heaven, what happens when you die." And she said, "Let me ask you what you believe." And I was like, cha-ching, open door, right? And so, and I said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm a Christian." And then, because I knew I had limited time here, because everything was coming to a close, immediately it was an attack on my faith. And she was very belligerent toward me, very aggressive in her speaking, like strong personality. And my husband's like, "Oh, I'm going to get up and go talk to the keynote speaker now." Left me. But so here I am talking to her and her brothers. And so she was telling me from a point of Islam what they believe Jesus to be and who they believe Jesus is. And I said, "Wait a second. Can I just let you know how I came to this conclusion, how I became a Christian?" And then I shared with her how I had the vision that God gave me with the door and the hand of the Lord saying, "Take my hand and walk through this door, and I love you." And then she said, "Yeah, that was Jesus." And her brother said, "Wait a second. She said the Lord. She didn't say Jesus. I want to hear more." And he said, "So what made you come to the conclusion that it was Jesus at the door? And I said, I knew I had to go to church, and I went to the church that I grew up in. She said, I knew it. And I said, no. Then I left. There was nothing there for me at that church. And I said, I was still kind of searching for my purpose, what life was about. And then I went to this other church that this guy from school invited me to. And I said, then I began to read the Bible, because there's many contradictions in it, according to the Islam faith. Right. And I said, in the book of John, in the gospel, it says that Jesus is the door. And they made the connection. And she said, well, that wasn't Jesus you saw. And I said, but it was. She's like, mm-hmm, that's good news. And I said, wait a second, it is. It is good news. And her brother all the while was just like really intrigued and drawn in. And she was very forceful, aggressive, like down my throat, cutting up my, you know, not even listening. And I said, wait a second, I had misconceptions about Islam and I was wrong. And I said, I think you might have some misconceptions about Christianity. So, I mean, if anything, it kind of lit a fire under my booty, you know, like, hey, you know, we do have this unreached people group here, and they are our neighbors, and we are to love them, you know, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and they are our neighbors. And it is a target-rich environment. I mean, take the opportunity, people. Seriously, I encourage you as our church. Please.
Amen. All right, contrasting the kingdom. This is the following contrast between these two mindsets. I'm going to go through these, and then we can, any questions raised, Pastor Don can answer them. All right, number one, a kingdom mindset releases all saints as ministers in the marketplace, wherever you go. It says a church mindset merely trains people to serve in the church building on Sundays. So if it's about how much work you got to do, wouldn't you choose church? Seems like it'd be less, 2 hours a week. And then you can rest the other time, right? You're going to work no matter what you do. Life is work. Why don't you live it building the kingdom? Life is work. It does not just, you know, work for you. Right? So we are to be about building that kingdom. I just recently switched jobs, so my kingdom building practices is all over now. Right? They send me to the west side of the state, down to Toledo, down to Taylor, Romulus. I mean, they don't know what they're doing. They send me home. They call me back out. They send me back home. It's like the best job ever. You know, they send me to people that don't want to talk to me because nobody's there when I work on their building. You know, but they give me the key. They trust me. You know, but I have another rich environment in which to proclaim the gospel.
That's right.
With meeting all these different people and talking to them. You know, we have the words of eternal life. Two, a kingdom mindset creates wealth to transform a community and a nation. A church mindset motivates giving to build your own church programs. Well, you got silent in here. We love to hang on to money. Money seems to buy us peace of mind. It seems to turn around, not that money's bad, but buy us peace of mind. We'll save it up. We'll work hard for it. We work hard to do what? To spend it. And then you're going to be able to take all that stuff with you. You know, having young men and whatnot in my life, my sons, my spiritual sons, and then my adoptive sons, that just they adopted me as their father because they're already planning on splitting up my inheritance. And they found scripture that, right, Dad, we're not going to play the prodigal, but we want our inheritance now. So they go into their garage, start picking out the tools. And it's funny, Shane, the other day, he needed some tape to paint, and he picks out the new roll, even though there's an open roll there. He knows that I want nothing but the best for him. You know? I said, put that back and take the old roll. What are you doing? Well, it's not going to be sticky. It's maybe not the first two times you untape it, but it'll work. Let's get rid of the old, and then we can start on the new. But they shop there. Sammy's redoing his basement, and he's shopping in my garage. He's like, what you got? You know, what tools do I need? Right? So I'm training him up. He's my adopted me as his father so that he could inherit. He says, you know, I'm one of them, right? But with that being said, you know, for me, your flesh can rise up at sometimes in that and say, what the heck? But God's teaching me that this stuff means nothing. It really does. It means nothing. You're not gonna. It's not what you're living for. If you can use that, even if it costs you, if you can use that to assist and help somebody else, so be it. So be it. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. We get too attached to a lot of the stuff that we have. That we earned it. We worked for it. It's ours. Yet we claim to be one body. We claim to be in unity. And if, by gosh, if you're viewed as being slothful or lazy, you ain't going to get no help. You ain't going to get blessed until you get off your butt and work for it. That's what you're told. You need to work for it. And you know what? You do. You not only need to work for it for yourself, but you need to work for it for others. If you want to be a blessing, this is what I like. People want to be a blessing, and this is what David portrays in the scripture. He wanted to be a blessing, and he wanted to honor God, right, and give a sacrifice. And I forget who it was, but he come up and said, here, take my animals, use my barn, use, you know, everything. He said, well, kind of, that doesn't cost me anything. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to be building his kingdom, it's going to cost you. And you might as well get it up front. Here's the easy thing. It's going to cost you everything. You serve long enough, it's going to cost you everything. You're going to figure out, like Solomon, that there's nothing that's worth it. Fear God. Fear God. Build his kingdom. You know, we chase after a lot of stuff. And don't get me wrong, that stuff can be used for the kingdom. But don't get me wrong, it can also get into our hearts that we don't want to give it up. That we don't want to move forward unless it's bigger and better. Nobody's going to downsize. Nobody's going to stop working as much overtime and whatnot to be more useful in the kingdom. They, well, now I got to do this. I got to maintain what I got. Well, get rid of what you got and you might be able to turn around and do that. Why do you have to have all this stuff fill in your life? Love has a name, and it's Jesus. You know, with those things that people were saying, we got to get back to it. What's important? What's real? Because the world paints a picture for us of what's important and what's real and what we need to be chasing after. You know, the world paints a picture for Esther's granddaughter that what she needs to be chasing after is Allah. That Jesus is no good and toss him on the floor. That's a picture that's being painted. And then she looks around and says, well, all you chase Allah? I must be doing something wrong. And puts that seed of doubt, just like, did God really say? Isn't there another way? No, there's not. There's not. There's no other way. Now, they can assimilate and they can counterfeit. And they can take some of the principles that God has established, some of the character that flows forth, so that they look similar, they sound good, but it's still not the real deal. It says, like with counterfeit money, how do you know what's real? Studying the counterfeit or the real? The real. What is real? What's really important to us? If we had to choose today, what's really important? You know, like they always say, if your house is on fire, what are you going to grab? Your stuff or your kids, your wife? What are you going to grab? It's people. It's those that were made in God's image that's important. Not all the other stuff. You know, we work so hard for it and whatnot, and we think God can't replace that. He can't restore that. He can do it 100-fold if he wants to. You can't outgive God. But don't go and give everything away today. Confirm it. I'll help you. You're supposed to give it to me. See? You guys are discerning. That's funny. I didn't hear that. See, you guys are more discerning than you think. I don't think that's the truth. I'll have to pray a little harder and study a little longer for that. Right, Shane?
Yep.
Amen. The kingdom mindset views the Bible as a blueprint to structure every aspect of society. Not just our lives. every aspect of society. A church mindset views the Bible merely as a pietistic book that enables us to escape the world, enter heaven, and be spiritual. We want this escapism mentality, that we don't want to go into the fray, right? That we cower back from the fray, from the wheat that is growing up in our world. It's sad. It's sad. I don't know why it is that God chose us to carry forth the truth and not them, and why they don't want the truth at this particular time. It might be that they just don't want it at this time. That in a setting like that, one's intrigued, the other one's not. You know, God will water that down the road. God's word does not return void. You know, one fell on a rocky place, the other one, well, that soil has a little bit tilled up to it. It's a little bit, it just needs to be watered. You know, you're going to encounter all kinds of situations. But God is God. He is faithful. He will carry it forth. A kingdom mindset trains people for all of life. Church mindset trains people only for church life. All of life. Every aspect of life. From marriage to raising kids to raising grandkids. Money. Job. What you do on your job. How you do it on your job. Every aspect of life. We have, in all honesty, it's sad because we have no excuse. We have no excuse when it comes to throwing in and our character moving forward. A little bit of rebellion is enough to turn around and steer us wrong. We want to push that line, that demarcation of, well, did the doctor really say? There was multiple interpretations, so I'm going to go with my own. And I don't think Donna was wrong. Right? She was told that she can only do a little bit. Her husband discerned that as cleaning one room. She did. She cleaned the house, one room. She just expanded that. She's like, I'm taking the kingdom for God. I'm expanding that. The interpretation was one room, one house. And she did it. And we're not going to argue with that. Not with women. Us men would have followed that to the T. Okay, what room? I'm going to clean the closet. It's the smallest room in the house. See, women know that. They would have all been guilty of that rebellion. Us men, smallest room in the house. And it's like, okay, well, that's clean enough. And that's because we'd open it, look, close it. See, now you can't see it. It's clean. Clean as far as I'm concerned. Right, honey? You know, women, when it comes to cleaner, I don't know. Ed, his daughter, Ed, and the girls threw a party for Jennifer. It was her birthday. We were lucky that we were invited. We were in close proximity to them. Me and relatives and Jesse and Taylor living in our backyard. So they decided they'd invite us. But we were lucky. But my wife, I believe, took advantage of this. Yep, yep. She said, party, not for me. This ain't for me, but you got to clean the yard, the house, and everything for Jennifer, for Jennifer's birthday. This is for Jennifer. I'm telling you, she was going to the very last minute. Jennifer's going to be showing up at 3 o'clock. She says, I need this table painted. I said, table painted? What's that got to do with the party? We ain't using that, but it needs to look good in case Jennifer was to see it. And she was making that list longer. It was growing by the minute. I'm like, Ed, call her and tell her to come early. We can't do this, you know? So you don't mess with women when it comes to cleaning. Donna, grace and mercy, if I've said anything, please forgive me. A kingdom mindset speaks to the rule of God over entire created order. A church mindset speaks to the rule of God through deacons, elders, over those in church congregation. You don't have to listen to us, but you better listen to God. And if God's speaking something to us, you better confirm that it's not God, because he's instilled that for your protection. You know, one of the things about being an elder, if I didn't have to answer to Jesus, I could care less if I was. But if you answer the call, then you got a responsibility to speak. And that really means that you have to listen. So you can hear what I said today, but are you listening? There's a difference. Every one of you will hear what was said, but it doesn't mean that you're listening. There has to be an application of what it is that God is trying to speak to you. You can't think that you're just going to be sanctified and saved because you listened. There has to be an application. There has to be a bearing of fruit. Fruit has to come from it. And if you don't want fruit to come from it, and that's not what you want, then so be it. You guys ought to be out fishing down by the river and enjoying what you can. Don't be here and be lukewarm. That's a waste of time. God will tell you that. If you're going to come, come. Come prepared. Don't prepare at 9 o'clock when the food is ready. Come prepared the day before. This is the Sabbath. This was spoken of when I was talking to people. This is the Sabbath. This is to be revered. This is a time that we truly have supposed to have been set apart for God. To come together, like-minded, one with another. And we, God forgive us, the world creeps in. We can come in here so flippant, with contentment, as if we were sitting in our living room, doing our own thing with our feet propped up, not taking any consideration into what it is that is happening here. That we are beginning to come as a group, one with another, into a holiness, the beginning of a week, not the end of a week, to bring forth what is said and done and supposed to be applied into the week coming. Who here knows that they got the week of hell coming? And yet you could get prepared today for that. Amen. Here, who knows that you can turn around and be on the mountaintop this week? And it was today that prepares you for that. And who knows that you're going to know somebody that has the week of hell coming because they're going to call, they're going to reach out. And yet you're on the mountaintop and you're going to be able to encourage them. You're going to encourage them saying, the view up here is good. You should be up here. No, you better encourage them by going down, grabbing them by the hand, and walking their butt up. As hard as it is. We always want to encourage people with our words. We need to start encouraging people with our action. As the old adage is, put your time is, your money where your mouth is. I love to turn around and with my words look good, but what about my actions when it's put to the test? When it's put, you don't think God will put you to the test to see if you're genuine? He wants to know, and he wants you to know that you're genuine, that you haven't been deceived, as the word says, our heart's deceitful above all else. We can turn around and come into a situation like this on a Sunday thinking, I'm doing pretty good. I'm good. I think I'm good. But what's that perception on? The finality of God's word? His holiness? Or that I'm doing better than Ricardo. I'm doing pretty good. Ricardo's not doing good. Yeah. Well, nobody's going to kick Ricardo to the curb because he got the sound on the song halfway. He's useful. And we like the food. We love Ricardo. We love Ricardo whether he cooks or not. He cooks for the glory of God. We get blessed by that. Ricardo does that because the appreciation and whatnot is not shown to Ricardo for serving all the time. He's the one that gets up early. He's the one that prepares the meal. He's the one that goes shopping and does the stuff and all of that. And it's a lonely position sometimes to wash the feet of you people. Not me, you people. I didn't partake of the food, so you didn't wash my feet. No. It's a lonely position, right, Donna? It can be. Let me know, you're not alone. Jesus led the way. He was never alone. Never alone. You are never alone. In the midst of that, you are never, ever, ever, ever alone. You cannot base it on feeling. You have answered the call as sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are not alone. You can't say that. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are not just part of this church. This church is imperfect. But you are part of God's kingdom. His kingdom is eternal. We hope that this church would be here forever. But it may not be. You don't know. There's no guarantee. It's a church. We've seen churches come and churches go. But his kingdom has always stood the test of time. These false religions come and go. I'm sorry to say, in a sense, because of the people that are going to go with it, that Islam is a false religion and it's going to go. It's going to be burned up in the fire. Amen. And the people that continued to believe in it, that were deceived. And there's a lot of them. But it's still a counterfeit kingdom. That was the thing that the enemy set up from get-go, to start a counterfeit kingdom opposed to God's. He hasn't stopped yet. He changes it a little bit, redesigns it, repurposes it, throws a little bit more light in it here and a little less over here, and gets us to, did God really say? Did he? Yes, he did. You don't even got to take my word for it. Please don't. Please don't. You guys all got a Bible, right? Yep. It looks like this. Some of you have the second edition, you know, the Samsung or the Android version. Right? But you have one. Right? Don't take my word for it. Please don't. Please confirm what is being said. That's part of listening, not hearing. And then when you know that I've made a mistake or misquoted, feel free to tell me. Feel free to tell the pastors. Hey, you know, Kenny, he's preaching that heresy. You know, I don't know about some of the stuff he said. But also feel free when you go that you may be corrected still. And sometimes you get corrected and you still go. You say, well, that's not right. I don't feel that. So what if you don't feel it? Truth is truth. Truth is truth. It's not about what you feel. How could that be right? Well, just come to understand, as you say with your wife and your mistress, well, let's disagree to disagree. Meaning that neither one of you understand. You could both be wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just so you know, I kind of poured my heart out a little bit, so I didn't have a lot for downstairs. So I ordered my teaching online from Amazon Prime. We have Amazon Prime here. I get a stipend from Amazon Prime for bringing this up. But I ordered my teaching. It comes in a nice bag. I know you guys are looking at me like, what? But I confirmed it on Google, so we're going to be good. Amen. Shane, close us in prayer, please.
This is just for you guys. If anybody's got Kindle, I would recommend this. This is a book that I have in my Kindle. It's called Why You've Been Duped Into Believing That the World Is Getting Worse. Okay, it's written by Pastor J.D. King is his name. I would recommend, if you don't have Kindle, get that, because you can get a lot of these books, you know, a dollar or two. But it's an incredible look. It goes right with what Kenny was talking about, the kingdom mindset versus the church mindset. And unfortunately, the church has bought into a false theology that the world is getting worse and worse, you know, until Jesus comes back. That's nowhere preached in the Bible. The kingdom mindset is the kingdom of God is continually pressing forward. And there were, you even quoted the scripture about the knowledge of the Lord, you know, as waters cover the seas. You really understand what the kingdom is all about, that Jesus sits on the throne now. He's given all power, all authority now. There's nothing that happens outside his divine will. And we see the church continually expanding. And, you know, this is a refreshing look at that mindset. You know, I was just telling Esther, I said 110 years ago, 120 years ago, you walk through the city of New York, you didn't have a car. You were trying to avoid horse droppings, you know, and the urine from the horse, dead horses laying in the road, thousands of them dying every year. The disease was rampant, you know, didn't have electricity yet, didn't have cars, you know. It was just incredible. Within 120 years, you look at, we come in here, we flick on the air conditioning, the light. Exactly right. What's the lifespan now? 72 years. You know, we got, like you said, you know, who'd have ever thought back in those days? Yeah, Bob's case, he's doubled it. He's got the double blessing. But, I mean, could you imagine someone picking up your phone and looking at it and go, my God, I mean, the world is at your fingertips. There's no one in the world, nowhere in the world you can't go today that you can't have a Bible app you pull up. You know, before you used to smuggle Bibles into Russia, now you can send something over the airwaves to maybe a church that's underground. Incredible. And the church has got to regain that mindset, like you were saying, that everything that we do, every aspect of life, whether it's running a hair salon, an IT guy, whatever it is, that's kingdom. That's serving the King some way, somehow. And when you look at it that way, I mean, the whole perspective changes. And it's, you know, it's called the good news. Like you were saying, you know, that lady challenging you, you know. But the thing was, you see that even now, even sitting there, that lady's brother, whoever he was, is listening. Who knows who else? You know, but God's showing you there's going to be the opposition, but there's also going to be that contrast, the opposition, but those whose ears are going to be opened by the Spirit of God. And are we going to speak up? So I'd recommend that. And look at the world differently and really get into the Scriptures and see what, you know, yeah, he died for our sins, and that was just the beginning. It was to expand his rulership in all areas of life. So, okay, I'm sorry. Get me going there. I didn't get a rope, so I don't know. Can I close this in prayer? And amen. Father, we thank you for the food that was provided today, both in the natural and in the supernatural. We thank you, Father, that we are developing that kingdom mentality. Lord, may we see that everything that we set our hand to do is for the glory of God. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray you expand our vision. Lord, that you give us that positive outlook, because we know that you reign over all the earth. That you are king over all kings. You are Lord over all lords. And Father, as we go down to worship, we pray that excitement would spill forth from our heart, that we come to be instructed to sit at your feet, to be strengthened to go out into that world and continue to expand your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the ministry this morning. Bless Kenny as he brings forth the word today from the pulpit. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.